Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Jesus said in Isaiah 53 that He saw our seed, He prolonged His days. He stayed on the cross, knowing that I would get saved, knowing that you would get saved one day. And man, what a great song. Well, it's good to have Brother Johnny Leslie with us this morning and Miss Tori, and what a blessing it is to have them. And the first service was fantastic, and so looking forward to him presenting and showing us his work as he's been there now for many. We're both getting really old and older. And so we've known each other a long time as a good friend. And Brother Leslie, you come on and you preach to us. Missionary to Croatia.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, it is a joy to be here this morning. And as Brother Crawford said, we're the Leslie family, missionaries to Croatia. And a special place coming back here. You've been supporting us for a long time. And I do feel like I'm older. I don't know if I'm old. Used to have more hair. I won't say anything about Brother Crawford or anything about that. He's the pastor, so we'll be kind. But I went to school with Brother Crawford many years ago, and it's a joy to have him as a friend and have this church behind us. And as we've been in Croatia for 21 years, and it's been a blessing to be there. It's been challenging at times. There's been defeats as well as victories, and but God's been so good. So what I'd like to do right now is just show you a short video just to reacquaint you with the work. And as you look at what God's done, and I do want to emphasize God has done it. It's not been us. We're just vessels trying to do something for God, but God does it through us. So I want Him to have all the glory. But as we look at it and see the folks and the churches and the Bible and so forth that's been accomplished, I just want you to look at it as fruit that abounds to your account. What missions is all about. It's what all these flags that are in this auditorium represent, these different fields that you support. You have a part in every soul that's saved, every Bible that's been passed out. And I just want you to, as you look at it as fruit that abounds to your account. So, brother, if we're ready, let's go ahead and show the video.
Hello, this is Brother Johnny Leslie, your missionary to Croatia. This past May, Tori and I celebrated 21 years of ministry among the Croatian people. Through those years, there as well as victories, there has been sorrows as well as joys, but through it all, God has been faithful to our family. If I had to pick one verse to describe our ministry or one passage of Scripture, it would be Psalm 98, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." God hath truly done marvelous things in Croatia. And it is our desire for the next few moments that God might be glorified. As you see some of the highlights of our ministry, I just want to make it very clear, none of it is because of us. It is all because of God, for God hath done marvelous things. Tori and I were both saved out of the world. For me, life was miserable and pointless. Most of the time, I lived with pain and hopelessness. I was a young man filled with hurt and anger because of my sin and saw no point in living until I met the Son of the living God. Because of a life of sin, I was scarred and broken, but one glorious day I was saved. I didn't know then that there was a master potter who could fix the broken pieces and use someone like me. Shortly after I was saved, I met the love of my life. Through God's all-knowing hand, we met and fell in love. She too was from the world and broken. In a missions conference in Mansfield, Texas, Tori was gloriously saved. God took two broken pieces and did a marvelous thing with them. After graduating from Norris Bible Baptist Institute in 1997, We began deputation and were sent out by the Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, pastored by Dr. Todd Lasseter. In May of 2000, we arrived in Croatia. I remember the butterflies in my stomach and the fear I felt. But God was faithful time and time again. Little did I know then that God was about to do a marvelous thing in the country of Croatia. In a small town in the north of Croatia, there was a small group of Christians praying that someone would come and help them start a church. Through that group, we started the very first Independent Baptist Church in Croatia. It is now pastored by Brother Rajko Telebar. Brother Rajko and I have worked together for the last 21 years. For many of those years, Brother Rajko translated for me until I could learn the language. Then after God called him into the ministry, he left his job and began full-time in the work of the Lord. He and I worked together, translating gospel tracts, putting together a psalm book, visiting church members, and door-to-door soul winning. After some time, he took over the first church, and I moved on and started the second. During those early years, there were many saved and baptized. God was so good and did a marvelous work in that small town in Croatia. As I began to preach, sermon after sermon, I would open my Bible and read my text. To my frustration, the translator would stop and explain that the Croatian Bible says something different. I was trying to strengthen the faith of believers, yet I felt their faith was being weakened because of a bad translation of the Bible. I quickly realized that we did not have a reliable translation in the Croatian language. I prayed and prayed about what to do and asked God to help us and give us a good Bible. Then while visiting the States on a small furlough, God made it crystal clear that He wanted me to do something about this need. Upon returning to Croatia, I talked to Brother Rajko about translating the Bible. He agreed, and the Croatian Bible Project began. We started with John and Romans, then we moved on to the New Testament, and finally, after 10 years, the whole Bible was completed. I thought we were doing this so our church people would have the Word of God. Now I know different. We get calls daily from Croatians around the world requesting the Bible. It is a joy that we can send them a copy of the Word of God. The Lord did a marvelous thing. I'm still leading the second church I started, and one day we'll turn it over to a national. Our people are growing and learning to reach their own people. They witness, pass out tracts and Bibles, and stand up for the Lord in this dark place. Along with leading Victor's Baptist Church, we also work with the Roma, or as we call them in America, the Gypsies. The Roma are a mission field within a mission field. We've seen many of them saved and baptized, and our prayer is that one day there will be a church in their village for the glory of God. Through the years, there have been many saved and baptized. There are now 3 independent Baptist churches in Croatia and 4 independent Baptist missionaries. I remember when there was none. A psalm book has been completed. Tracts have been translated and distributed by the thousands. The Bible has been translated and printed and is now being distributed. All I can say is glory to God, for He hath done marvelous things. Now that we have a Bible, psalm book, and tracts, we believe that there's a sure foundation on which to build. Weekly, young Croatians contact me to let me know that they're watching our sermons online. Many of them live far from us, and there is not a good church for them to attend. Because of this, God has put it on my heart to start an online Bible college, a place where these young people can be trained in doctrine. We have already begun this process and are hopeful that soon it will become a reality. Along with the Bible college, we want to continue distributing the Word of God as God provides. I would like every Croatian to have a copy of the Word of God. God has done marvelous things in the country of Croatia, and I believe He will continue to do marvelous things among the Croatian people. We want to thank all of you who pray for us and support us faithfully. Because you have held the ropes for our family, God has done a marvelous thing.
I want to thank you for your faithfulness to our family. Many years, I'm not quite sure how many, but probably at least 20, you've been supporting us a long time. And we are so thankful to you for that. It means a lot to have churches like this one behind us. And the Bible that it mentioned, it all started in this church. The church, you were meeting over at the IBFI facilities before you had this property and building. I think you had owned the property but weren't here yet. And church gave us $10,000 for a project that we didn't even have. And because of that, we had a project. My pastor, Brother Smith, heard about it. And 2 days later, I was in his office after being with you guys, and he gave us $10,000 for the project. And so God used that to seal it in my heart that he wanted us to do something about it and that he was behind it and would provide what we needed. And I want you to know, folks, he has. Last year, we received 24,500 Bibles in a container from Bible Literature Missionary Foundation. While I was a student at Norris, I don't know if Brother Crawford remembers Dr. Bobby Lamont, the senior, came through. He's a very older man at that time. But he told the students, if we ever need Bibles, to call him. So I need a Bible, so I called. And he was gone to be with heaven, with the Lord, but his son is running it. Bobby, he's also in his 70s now, and told him what his dad told me in school. He says, well, I guess we're going to print your Bibles. So they sent us 24,500 Bibles last year. And then last Thursday, or two Thursdays ago, I was in their conference and preached up there for them and at the conference, and they loaded another container of 24,000 Bibles that's on its way to Croatia right now. And so who would have dreamed when we started that project? I thought it was for our people. That's all I thought. But God had bigger plans. And now the Bible is literally going out all over Europe. Croatians all over Europe are requesting that Bible. We had it go to Australia, Canada, and then all major cities in Croatia. They're sending out. We're sending out. Brother Sam does it mainly from our ministry, Brother Sam Ward. I think last week he sent out over 100 Bibles of people requesting them just through the mail. That's not counting going to the markets and the squares, and we pass them out as our church. That's just people through Facebook and different means that we have it out there that they can get a Bible. Them literally requesting it, sending their address, and then we send them a Bible. So what a wonderful thing that is to get the Word of God into people's hands. So thank you, church, for all of your faithfulness and all that you've done for us through the years. Matthew chapter number 27. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I don't take lightly that Pastor Crawford allows me to preach. And just want to be a blessing to you and not abuse that. I want to just be an encouragement to you and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 27, and if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read the Word of God together. If that offends you, just be glad I didn't turn to Psalm 119 and you'll feel better about it, I promise. Usually helps folks pretty good. Chapter 27, verse number 19. That's about the only joke I know, by the way. That's about as funny as it's going to get. Verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 22, where Pilate, the governor, saith unto them, that's the Jewish leadership, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Question mark. And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Our Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, to be in the house of God this morning. God, I need you. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. God, I don't want to preach just another sermon. I want to have a message from God this morning. Father, I'm asking you to fill me. Please, dear God, open the hearts of your people. Help them to receive the Word of God. Lord in heaven, I ask you, please, to help me not to say anything that would bring shame or dishonor to my God. But help me, Father, to say everything you want me to say. And Father, I ask you to please help me to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that your people might see him. And Father, I pray that you would do a work this morning in our hearts. God, I confess that without you, I can do nothing. I know that I don't want to preach in the flesh, God. I'll fall on my face. God, I need you. I'm asking you to use me this morning for your glory and that you might speak to your people and bring them closer to the Lord. Thank you, dear God, for the cross. Thank you that the Savior went to the cross for us. Thank you, God, after 3 days and three nights, he arose from the dead. Thank you, Father, for the promise that he's coming again. Please help us now. We need God. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What will you do with Jesus? Can I say to you this morning, there's never been a man live like Jesus. There hasn't. He was God in the flesh. He was God walking among men. Never in history has there been a man like him. Now, there may have been great men we could point to and maybe men we'd like to study after. I know I have a lot of preachers that I like to study their lives. I like old preachers, many of them that are already with the Lord. I like studying their lives. I still do. I think it'd be good for a lot of young preachers if they do that. Quit looking at the new stuff and go back to the old. Just find out. Now, they weren't all perfect. They all had flaws. But I'll tell you something. They walked with God. They had something that we're missing today, and I'd like to have it in my own life. But though there was some good men of God throughout history, none of them would compare to Jesus. Never has there been a man like him. He was God walking among men. God in the flesh. Now, I believe that Jesus was not just a man. I believe he was God in the flesh. I don't believe that just a man died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that God died on the cross to pay for my sins. So I believe he was different than any man that had ever lived. And everywhere that he went, people had to make a decision as to what they were going to do with him. You and I don't have to decide this morning of what we're going to do with Muhammad. I don't have to make that decision in my life what I'm going to do with Muhammad. I don't have to decide what I'm going to do about Buddha. I don't. Maybe some people think you do. I don't. I don't think I have to decide a thing about Buddha. Matter of fact, I don't even think Buddha wanted me to decide anything about him. I don't have to decide anything about Hare Krishna or any other religious leader or Gandhi that have lived and have taught men. I don't have to make a decision about them. They were but men. They're dead. They're gone. They may have a memory still lasting here, but they're not here anymore. But I want you to know something. All around the world, people must make a decision about what they're going to do with Jesus. They don't have to decide about Buddha. He's dead. He's in the grave. But Jesus is God, and he arose from the dead, and you must make a decision of what you're going to do with him this morning. In the Bible, we see many people who came in contact with Jesus, and all of them had to make a decision as to what they were going to do with him. People in the Bible had to make a decision. They had to decide, what am I going to do with him? The Jewish people, Jesus came unto them. The Bible says it was his own. And yet they rejected him. They made a decision. He came to them and they said, is this the Christ? Are you the Christ? Tell us if you're the Son of God. And they had to make a decision about him. Now, unfortunately, they decided to reject him. But make no mistake about it, they made a decision. Now we see him before Pilate, the governor. Now Pilate is having to make a decision about Jesus. He's before Pilate. And Pilate now has to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? Pilate tried to pass him off to someone else. He heard that Herod was in his jurisdiction and Herod was in town and Jesus fell under his jurisdiction. So he thought, you know, I'll just pass him over to Herod. So now he's in front of Herod and Herod has to make a decision about him. And Herod had heard about him. He heard about all the magic tricks he could do. He thought, I'd like for him to perform for me. I'd like him to do one of those magic tricks. By the way, there's a lot of churches just like that today. They want him to perform for them. And so now he's before Herod. Herod has got to make a decision about Jesus. Now he goes to the cross, and as he's on the cross, the soldiers are looking up at him, and the soldiers had to make a decision about what they were going to do with him. And we know that they played games there. They cast lots at the foot of the cross. They thought, I'll just play games with him. But you make no mistake about it, they made a decision about Jesus. Everywhere he went, people had to make a decision as to what they're going to do with Jesus. Now, I think today, a lot of people are doing what Pilate did. They think that if they ignore the situation, it'll go away. They won't have to decide. But you better understand this morning, you've got to make a decision about him. Other people are like Herod. They want Jesus to perform for them. Boy, they love church. There's a lot of religious people today. And by the way, there's a lot of religious people in Baptist churches. They come to church because it feels good. They come to church because they like the singing. They come to church because they like the atmosphere. But they're just like Herod. They want him to perform for them. Hey, the early church wasn't like that. They met in caves. They met when they didn't have air conditioner. They met when it was hard. They met when someone was going to kill them for meeting. But they met because they made a decision about him. A lot of people are just like Herod. They want to play games with the Lord. Others are like the Jewish people. They just reject him altogether, but they made a decision about him. You and I this morning are going to have to make a decision about Jesus. The first time he came, it was in a manger. The second time he comes, it will not be in a manger. He will not die on a cross. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I guarantee you, you're going to make a decision about him. So for our message this morning, I want to just give you a few things that you ought to decide about Jesus. Because you've got to make a decision about him this morning. What will you do with Jesus? The very first thing I want to say to you this morning, you need to decide to make him your Savior. You need to decide to make him your Savior. If you're not saved this morning, I want you to say the first thing you need to do is decide this morning he's going to be my Savior. I remember when I was an 18-year-old boy, my life was a wreck. It was ruined. It was in the gutter. And I heard John 3:16, and I had to make a decision about Jesus. It was the best decision I ever made in my life when I said, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be saved. And I looked up to heaven, and I said, Jesus, save me. And he saved me and changed my life. What a wonderful decision. And by the way, I believe and I'm convinced more than ever, every time I come back to America, there's a lot of Baptist people that need to make a decision to get saved. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody doubt their salvation this morning. I wouldn't try to do that. But I'm convinced in our Baptist churches, the reason you can't get people to read their Bible, the reason you can't get people to pray, the reason you can't get people to come to church, the reason you can't get people to witness is simply they need to get saved. I know that might not feel good, but I didn't come this morning to make you feel good. You've got to make a decision about him because you can be a Baptist and die and go to hell. And this may not be positive preaching, but it's needed preaching in our country. Our country is dying and going to hell, and people are sitting in churches and they need to get saved. You've got to make a decision to get saved this morning. If you're not born again, don't leave this building without getting saved. You can sleep through the service, you can sleep through the preaching, and you can sing like you've got no joy in your heart. There's something wrong with that. You either need to get right with God or you need to get saved. People come to church, they look like they've been sucking on lemons. I like lemons in my tea, I don't like them in my church. I know they say, I went to Croatia, Brother Crawford, and it's Europe. And they said, we don't get excited in church. I got saved, folks. I ain't got over it. I don't plan on getting over it. And I don't care if a bunch of Baptists gotten over it. I don't plan on getting over it. I'm still excited. I'm still excited. I'm not on my way to hell. I'm excited what God did for me. I'm excited that I'm a missionary. I'm excited that I have a Bible I can read. I'm excited about it. So I go to Croatia. I'm excited. That was a little hard in the beginning because I had to use an interpreter and he wasn't as excited as I was. I had to learn to get him excited, and then, boy, it got good after a while. Then I can do it in the language now. But I'd get excited and I'd tell our people, they look like they're sucking on lemons. And I said to them, that early church that we started, and I said to them, I said, you ought to get excited. I'd run down, Brother Crawford. I'd run down and amen myself. Then I'd run back up. I don't do that anymore. I'm almost 50. That gets tiring going up and down, so we don't do that anymore. When I was young, I'd go up and down, run to the chair, run back. I'd amen myself and come back. And they said, well, Brother Johnny, we just don't, we're Europeans. We're not excited people. We just don't do that. You'll just have to forgive us. We love the Lord, but we just don't do that. I said, okay. I still would run down and run back up and get excited. And one afternoon, I was watching a soccer game. Croatia loves soccer. I mean, that's their big thing. It's better, bigger than American football to them. And I was watching the soccer game. Croatian national team was in one of the World Cups. And I mean to tell you, I watched the stand. The Croatians, they painted their faces. They were setting the stands on fire. I mean, they had a song they were singing. They were chanting and singing. And boy, I never saw them that excited. Because guys were kicking a ball up and down the field. I saw that. Boy, I had me a sermon Sunday. Name of my sermon, "You're All Liars." You're a bunch of liars. I come into church that Sunday morning. I said, "You're a bunch of liars. You told me you don't get excited." I said, "I watched the soccer game. I saw what you do. You get excited about what you want to get excited about. You get excited about what's important to you." And by the way, I think that's our country today. We get excited about things we ought not get excited about, and we don't get excited about things we ought to be excited about. What will you do with Jesus? You need to make Him your Savior. You and I were born into sin. God is holy and God must judge sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death. We know that because we're sinners, we must die. The Bible says in Revelation 20, there at the end, 14 and 15, it says, "Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Can I tell you something, my friend? There's a place called hell. It doesn't matter if preachers today don't believe in hell. It still doesn't change the fact that hell's a real place. And because of sin, we must go to that place called hell. But there's a God in heaven that came down to this earth because of the cross. He died on the cross to pay your debt and to pay my debt. And now He's given me salvation. What a wonderful thing that is. I, a sinner on my way to hell, got saved. And when I was a sinner, now, by the way, I know I still sin. I try to get right with God about it. But when I say I was a sinner, when I was on my way to hell, I knew I was a sinner. I was so wicked. But by the way, you that grew up in church your whole life, you're just as wicked. You just don't know it. And that's the difference. I knew where I deserved to go. So I got excited when I didn't have to go there. Some of you think you're not that bad. Some of you grew up in church, you think, "Well, I'm not that bad." You're just as vile as I was. You ever read the book of Revelation towards the end where it says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire? You ever told a lie? Can I tell you the liar's going to the same hell Hitler's going to? Can I tell you the liar's going to the same hell that the worst criminal on death row is going to? You just need to understand your sin is great. Now, I can compare myself to Brother Crawford and I can say, "Well, I'm not that bad." Yeah. He'd probably do that to me and say, "I'm not that bad." I'm not going to compare myself to Brother Crawford. It's going to be against God. And when I see the holiness of God like Isaiah saw it in Isaiah chapter 6, you remember what he said? He fell to his knees. "Holy, holy, holy." He said, "I'm undone. I'm undone." You see, when you see God for who He is, you'll see you for who you are. Sinner deserving hell. But then when you understand there's a Savior that died for you, you must make a decision this morning. And by the way, your mama can't make it for you. Your preacher can't make it for you. Your daddy nor your grandpa can make it for you. You must make that decision to take Jesus as your Savior. So this morning, the very first thing I want to say to you, you need to make Him your Savior. Secondly, let's move on. What shall you then do with Jesus? You need to make Him your Master and Lord. You need to make Him your Master and your Lord. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Get over to Matthew chapter number 16. Verse number 24. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." Now, folks, there's something we do in our country and maybe in other countries that I think is false. Now, if your church has a different stand, you go with your pastor, don't go with me. But we try to mix lordship and salvation together, and they don't mix. They don't. See, I've heard a lot of preachers say, make Jesus your Lord of your life to be saved. That's wrong. It's not right. And see, we talk about discipleship in churches, and I'm for it. But can I tell you something? I don't think we really understand it. We think discipleship is teaching. And it is. Don't misunderstand me. Disciple means learner. I understand that. But we think it's to take some books and disciple people, and I understand that. But it's more than that. You see, Jesus said to His disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. I was one this boxer to the Lord in Croatia is knocking his door, and a big old fella, of course, everybody's big to me, but that's another story. And he was buff, you know, you could tell he was something, and he was a boxer at his door, and his wife had just left him, and I opened my Bible and invited me in, and I led him to the Lord. So I said to him, his name is Val, I said, can I come back? I'd like to teach you some lessons. I want to disciple him. And so we got into a few lessons, and about the second time I came, I opened this passage of Scripture. And this is what he did. He looked at it, and he said, wait a minute. It says deny himself. You mean I've got to deny myself? That means what I want to do, I can't do. Yeah, that's what it means. He said, well, I can't do that. And I tried to convince him he ought to. But he was honest enough with me to say, I can't do it. Now, folks, if that was part of salvation, then Val's not saved. No, what happened is he couldn't follow the Lord like he ought to follow the Lord. Take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 14. I'm going to convince you in just a moment. Luke chapter number 14. I want you to look at this. And I'm not trying to be unkind at all, but I want to show you what the Bible says. Verse number 25. This is a parallel scripture of what we just read. Luke 14, 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto him, now look at it, if any man come to me, now look at it, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also. Now look what it says. He cannot be my disciple. Not that it'd be difficult. He said he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you see that? Whoever, if you don't hate your father and your mother. That's what he said. It's not what I said. Now, I don't literally think that means I'm to go and talk to my mom and say, Mom, I hate you. Just wanted you to know, I'm a true disciple of Christ, so I hate you. I don't think that's what it means at all. But I think when you compare my love for Christ and my love for my mother, it would almost look, if it does not look, like hate to the world. Let me give you an illustration. My wife's mother was dying here in America, had no one. We had to stay in Croatia because God called us to Croatia. Now to her brother, it looked like we hate her mother. Why can't you come home? Why can't you be there? Why can't you leave the field and take care of Mom? Hello? We said we cannot because we cannot be His disciple and not put Him first. Now, I know that's not what we do in America. I know that's not the Christianity we have in America. But by the way, it's the Christianity that used to be in America. It was the Christianity that people said, I've got to be at church instead of the family reunion. I've got to be at church instead of the birthday party. I've got to be at church instead of my job. I've got to be at church and read my Bible and do what I'm supposed to before everything else. Hello. I cannot be my disciple. You cannot. Not that it'd be difficult. That's the Lord Jesus said that. Get mad at Him. If you want to be His disciple, you have to do some things. More than just learning a book. Learning's good. I'm for that. I'm sure you do that here, and we do it in Christ. It's good stuff. Learn all you can. But you cannot be His disciple until you're willing to give up some things. So what should you do with Jesus after He's your Savior? You ought to make Him your Master and your Lord. See, I got saved. I didn't go to church right off the bat. I was still in the world. Something was different. I couldn't do the things I used to do and enjoy them anymore. I tried to do it, and I'd feel miserable. And I didn't know. That was the Spirit of God in me, and I didn't know that. See, I got saved. I become a new creature. I was born again. The Holy Spirit of God moved in me. I didn't know that. No one told me that. So I had to go do the things I used to do. I'd feel guilty about it. Well, after a while, I started going to church. I got into the preaching. Brother Monty Henson was preaching. And under the preaching of the Word of God, my life began to change. See, he was my Savior, but then I wanted to make him my Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm going to do what my Lord says. He's going to control my thoughts. He's going to control my actions. He's going to control my life. And when he said, go to Croatia, I went to Croatia because he was my Lord. Where would you not go this morning if God told you to go? Then he's not your Lord. I'm sorry, he's not. I've been around a lot of churches. One of the things, and no one's done this to me, so I can say this. I would not say what I'm about to say if someone had already said this to me, and no one has. But a lot of times people will come up to the missionary and they'll say, well, God bless you, I can never do what you're doing. You know what that person just said? I'm carnal, and he's not my Lord. That's what they just said. Now, if you were thinking it, you would have said it. Don't say it. I don't want to know. I'm not trying to point anybody out. No one said that. But I guarantee you there's probably a lot of people here that would have said that. They just didn't do it, and praise the Lord they didn't, because it's my pet peeve. I wouldn't say anything. I'd be kind and gracious. But I can tell you now, because no one said it, don't say that to me. Because what you're saying is he's not my Lord. He's not my master. Because if he was, you'd go wherever he told you to go. You'd do whatever he told you to do. You'd be whatever he wanted you to be. You'd be faithful. He's your master and your Lord. So what will I do with Jesus? Number one, he needs to be my Savior. Number two, he needs to be my Lord and master. And then number three, what will you do with Jesus? You need to make him your king. We don't understand a lot about king. I mean, we threw kings off. This is America. Bless God, we don't need kings here, do we? Amen. I don't want no earthly king. I'd say amen with you, brother. But I do have a heavenly king. And I'll take him. I know he's a good king. And I know one day he's coming back for me. And I know one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. I hope I'm there when Joe Biden confesses. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the sentence. Never mind, I shouldn't have said that. Should not. You know, I told myself, don't say that. And I did it anyway. It just happened. I'm sorry, Brother Crawford. It just happens sometimes. But every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. Is he your king this morning? Do you serve him? Do you worship and honor him? Is he your king this morning? Then promote him. Live for him. He's my king. You know what that means? I'm living for his kingdom. I'm not living for America. Now, I love our country. I'm for our country. But let me tell you something. This is not my home. It's not. You say it's the greatest country on earth. No, there's a greater one coming. And it's not going to have an earthly man running it. It's going to be the King of Kings running it. And I'm living for that place, not this place. My king's coming. He's my king. I'm going to live for him. So what am I going to do with Jesus? He's my Savior. He's my Lord and Master. And he's my king. And then let me give you the last thing. We'll be through. What shall you do with Jesus? You need to make him your everything. Now what do I mean by that? Take your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 3 and we'll be finished. Colossians chapter number 3. He's my everything. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now look at it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ, who is our life. He's my life. Everything about me is wrapped up in Christ. He's not part of my life. He is my life. I don't just worship him on Sunday. I worship him on Monday. Because he's my life. I wake up thinking about him. I wake up to read my Bible and pray. When I used to have to work a job here, secularly in this Metroplex area, he was my life. I'd have cassette tapes. I know that dated me. I just know it did. But I'd have those cassette tapes. Some of you don't even know what that is. It's like a CD or MP3 player. And I would listen to preaching. I'd have the Bible playing. Lester Roloff would come on about 12 o'clock. I'd be listening to him every day. Lester Roloff. I wanted God. He was my life. By the way, he's still my life. My life's wrapped up in Him. So what am I going to do with Jesus? He's my Savior. He's my Lord and Master. He's my King. And He's my everything. Not part of my life. He is my life. I don't come to church when it feel like it. I come to church when it don't feel like it. I don't read my Bible when I think it's convenient. I read my Bible every day because He's my life. Not part of it. He is my life. I'm going to end with something. Tori and I, as we've been traveling, have been listening to a lot of autobiographies, the audiobooks. We've been listening to a lot of these old preachers and missionary stories, and just did the Jim Elliot stories, talking to the brother about that earlier. Incredible story. You young people, you ought to get in your MP3 player, whatever you have, those things, get some of these audiobooks, really, and listen to the Jim Elliot stories. Incredible. It's entertaining to think what they did. They were in the jungles and things that happened. It's just incredible stuff. Well, we were just listening to Adoniram Judson's story. He's a first American missionary to be sent out of American soil to a foreign land. Incredible. Now, I've heard the story before, but never in detail. I couldn't stop listening to it. My heart was burning within me as I read about this man of God. He started out as a Congregationalist, as a young man. He started off as an atheist, and then he came to something they called a deity or something. It's what Benjamin Franklin believed or something, that God is there, but doesn't really... involved in our life. Well, then through a miraculous thing that happened in his life, he got saved. And just listen to the story. It's incredible. But God called him to go to Burma. He was going to be the first missionary to Burma. And back then there wasn't, you didn't go around to churches and raise support. You had to get support somehow. And so the Congregationalists tried to get behind him, and no one would send him. They couldn't raise enough money in America to send the first American missionary. Think about it. England was sending missionaries at that time, but America was going to send out the first American missionary, and they couldn't raise support for him. So he has this idea, he's going to go to England and try to get them to support the American missionary, first American missionary. So he gets on a boat, incredible story, and pirates take the boat, but really listen to that, especially you young people, you'd enjoy it. And so anyway, he gets to England finally, and... they won't support him. They said, why would we support an American missionary? We got our own American. He said, well, could I go through you? I'll just go through your mission agency and be another English missionary. Because he wanted to get to Burma. And so they did, and they were going to send him. He got to India. William Carey was still alive. I didn't know they were contemporaries. And he got baptized, became a Baptist over there under the ministry of William Carey. And God was already dealing with his heart about it. But after he got around those missionaries, he became a Baptist. And then there was they finally raised enough support in America, sending first American missionary to Burma, a Baptist missionary, and any kind of missionary. Incredible things that God did with his life. If you ever hear his story, he was in prison. He translated the Bible into Burmese. Just incredible stuff that this guy did. Lost three children, buried them there. His wife was an incredible lady. But this is what I want to tell you as I end this sermon. When he was a young man, got saved on his way to Burma, he was a Congregationalist, was at the deacon's house, and deacon's daughter was serving the meal, and she had some pretty eyes. You young people, listen to me. This will help you find, especially you boys, it'll help you find a girl. She had some pretty eyes, and he thought, well, I'd like to marry her. That's going to be my wife. And so he asked her. He said, would you marry me? He come to her. They talked a little bit, and he said, would you marry me? And this is what she said. You girls, listen to this. This will be good, especially you daddies. You'll like this. She said, go ask my daddy. That's what she said. Go ask my daddy. So he thought, what am I going to do? He said, I'm going to be a missionary to Burma. Now, you understand, that was the days before McDonald's, right? McDonald's was not in Burma. There were no airplanes. They had to get on a boat. This was 1812, 1806, somewhere around there. And so he thinks, what am I going to do? How am I going to ask her daddy to let the daughter go with me to Burma? And so he said, I'm going to write him a letter. And I've got the letter right here. I want you to hear it. He says, I have now... Adoniram Judson writing to the girl's father. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring. Now listen, to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her departure to a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this? I'm going to keep reading in just a moment. Do you hear what he just said? How many of you daddies are ready to say, yeah, you can take my daughter, that sounds pretty good. How many of you young ladies, when the young man wrote a letter in this way, how many of you ready to say, I'll go? I'll do that. I'll go and maybe suffer a violent death. Maybe I'll get persecuted. Maybe I'll... You understand it was against the law to preach the gospel in Burma. It was under a king and he killed people. He literally tortured them before they died. Even William Carey, when he heard that he was going, said, oh, that's not an open place. So here he is, writes this girl's daddy and said, this is what's awaiting your daughter. Can you consent to all of this? I'm pausing because I want your daddies that have little girls to think about it. What would your answer be? Let's keep reading. Can you consent to all this, comma, for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God? Can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory, with a crown of righteousness brightened by the acclamations of praise which shall resound to her Savior from heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair. Signed, Adoniram Judson. The girl's daddy said, you'll have to ask her. What he said? He said, I can't consent. She has to consent, but I will not stop it. If she wants to go, I'll let her go. How many of you daddies would say, I don't know if I could agree to that, but I'd step back and let her do it if God told her to do it? Think about it. The condition of Christianity then and the condition of Christianity now. I have a reply quickly, and I want to read it. She wrote this to a friend after hearing that her daddy said it's her decision. I feel willing and expect, if nothing in providence prevents, to spend my days in this world in heathen lands. Yes, Lydia, her friend, I have about come to the determination to give up all my comforts and enjoyments here, sacrifice my affection to relatives and friends, and go where God, in His providence, shall see fit to place me. And she went. One of the greatest missionary ladies I've ever read about was Ann Judson. You ladies ought to read about her biography. Is He your Savior this morning? Is He your Lord? Is He your King? Is He your everything? Adoniram Judson said, yes, He is. Ann Judson said, yes, He is. How about you this morning? What shall you then do with Jesus? You're going to have to make a decision. What you're going to do with Jesus? Could we have every head bowed, please, every eye closed. Brother Crawford, if you'll come. Musicians, you come. I'm not going to ask a lot of questions, but I just wonder this morning, no one looking around, maybe in a crowd this side, you'd say, Brother Johnny, I'm here and God spoke to me. I don't know if I'm saved. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call you out. But you say, Brother Johnny, I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to know. Please pray for me. A friend, I won't call you out nor embarrass you. I'd just like to pray for you. If you're that person, say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to. Did you just slip up your hand that I might see it? No one looking around. Anybody like that, just say, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to know. I want to make you my Savior this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Brother Johnny, God spoke to me. Maybe He needs to be my Lord, my King, my everything. God spoke to me this morning. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, just say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Pray for me. God bless you. Pray for me. Our Father, we love You and we thank You, dear God, for the day. And I do believe You spoke to hearts this morning, for You spoke to my heart. And God, one more time, I want to commit to You that You might be my Lord and Master, that You might be my King, and that You might be my everything. Please, dear God, speak to hearts this morning. Please bless Heritage Baptist Church and your people. And God, if there's someone unsaved that didn't have the courage to raise their hand, don't let them keep pride from keeping them, Father, from coming to you. Help them, Father, to come down to the front and grab one of these workers and tell them they need to be saved. Please, dear God, do something this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Preacher.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.